The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And a good afternoon to you, and welcome. Welcome on back to our itsy bitsy teensy weensy Saturday afternoon show on this Memorial Day weekend, May 27. Can you believe it? I, for once, choose to self-identify as Randy Corcoran, your pumped-up purveyor of principled, passionate patriotism. That's my story. I'm sticking with it, and I don't care what anybody says. The radical left that's in charge of the Democrat Party, the mainstream never-Trumper Republicans, the folks who think it's time to get along and not step up and fight harder every single day. I get to pick. I get to pick. I do hope, though, that as we enjoy this Memorial Day weekend, and man, it looks like a much better day tomorrow and then Monday without the rain that seems to be creeping up on us as we look around. I was just thinking as I drove in, actually, the skies in Colorado are so extraordinary. You know, I was born here, so I grew up used to the mountains to the west and the lower cloud cover and just the beautiful skies. And then you move away to Ohio for a year, to Chicago for 6 years, or even if you're just, you know, on a motorcycle trip or traveling around, you forget just how great we have it here from a nature point of view. And, of course, that doesn't apply when Canada's forest fires are burning to the ground, but it seems like that's cleared up. Skies have been pretty clear, but our clouds are so gorgeous, and these storms are phenomenal. And I don't know, I just like to enjoy. Nothing you can do about it, right? And I know we told the flooded basement for my son's story a couple of weeks ago. We got that all dealt with. But there are certain things that we should enjoy. But one of them, of course, is a long holiday weekend. No work on Monday. Our law firm closes any day that the courts are closed, which our employees really like. But let's make sure that we share with our friends and our family, and especially our kids and our grandkids, or you know, any children we're around that we have an opportunity to interact with, just that this weekend and this Monday is when we revere, when we praise, when we thank and pray for everyone who gave their all for you and me. It's just so very important. I have to admit, from, you know, when I grew up, holidays like this were time to get together with the cousins and the aunt and the uncle, and it was a great time, and I didn't really understand it very well. And from, you know, high school dropout age at 15 through early adulthood, just never paid that much attention. I think it's the years now as an activist and getting to know heroes, war heroes, the families of fallen war heroes, leading parades and prayers and rallies and things like that at different times, that especially if you didn't serve, you have to take a minute and express such gratitude and make sure that that carries on to the generations that follow us and that you can impact. We just can't let it be about beers and brats and barbecue and another great, and I'm excited you should enjoy your three-day weekend, but do take a moment, will you? And do your best to make sure that the folks around you do the same. I know, having gotten to know some pretty, you know, people who've been through the ringer in law practice, representing people who are having trouble with the VA politically, heroes like John Tig-Tigan and Mark Ozgeist and others. And, you know, they're humble people, and they don't like to talk about their time at war. And they come back home, and they still try and in an active way make a difference for the country that they fought for and were injured for. And of course today, unlike Veterans Day, which celebrates all who have served, this day especially is to remember those that we lost. My dad had 7 brothers and sisters, and all of his brothers served in World War II, including him. My grandparents served in World War I. No one was injured or lost. We've been a very fortunate family that way. And when you see what happens with folks when they have the, you know, I've gotten to know the Dietz family and their fallen hero, Danny Dietz, great movie that was made about him. I'll talk a little bit about the monument to Danny Dietz that you can actually go see over the weekend. It's a really cool place to go and visit later on in the show. And you can just, you know, I lost a brother to a car crash. I know what it did to my parents. I know the hole that's in your heart that never gets filled. But I think it's different when someone goes off to war and doesn't come home. And the courage that it takes, just like parents or spouses of police officers, every single day to face the unknown and just the uncertainty, so worthy of our praise and our love and our prayers and our support. And so let's just make sure that that's a point that we make during this, what looks to be beautiful 3-day weekend. We've all heard of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And I've been there a couple of times, once as a boy. And I don't know, maybe nine years ago, I was at a political rally very early in my political activism career and had time to kill before a late plane back to Denver. So I took a cab. Yeah, they did cabs in those days. No Uber. And went out to, I did even more than that. I'll tell the story. I took a cab out to Virginia, to Arlington Cemetery, and walked around. I was in a suit. I was really stupid. I was in a suit. It was a warm time of year. Cherry blossoms were out, and it was humid, but not exceedingly hot. But like an idiot, I had good, nice dress shoes on. So I spent some time wandering around, went to the John F. Kennedy gravesite, and I showed up at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier at the perfect time. They were just getting ready to do the changing of the guard. And one thing that's valuable about wandering around, traveling by yourself, is that you can kind of worm your way up to where you can see well. You know, if you're there with a couple of people or with a wife and kids or whatever, you know, stay in line and do the best you can. Place was already filled in and packed to watch the changing of the guard, and I got to experience that. And when I left, I walked back out, and there were no cabs there. And so I thought, well, geez, that's not too far. I think I'll just walk back to D.C. And I walked over the bridge and over the Potomac. And again, you know, like an idiot, feet in horribly uncomfortable dress shoes. But I got so into just thinking about, I'd been doing a lot of reading on history, the Revolutionary War, a couple of the early presidents, the Federalist Papers, all of those things were part of my sort of, you know, fire hose sucking effort to get up to speed on all of the history that I'd missed and not paid any attention to as a younger man. So all those thoughts were swirling around, and I got down to the National Mall, and the National Mall, and I don't remember how far that is from Arlington Cemetery, a couple of miles, I imagine. But I walked around the entire mall, stopped at, you know, Thomas Jefferson and Martin Luther King memorials, and just all of the presidents and all of the different the founding fathers, the ones that you don't hear about. And then I walked from there over to the archives and it wasn't very busy. So I was able to get in and very quickly go see the original Constitution, United States Constitution, which was under thick glass, and made it back, you know, got back to the airport, made it home on the plane in plenty of time. Could not walk. My feet were just numb. But it was so worthwhile to spend all that time in just awe of the tremendous history that had forged this country. And of course, you know, 8, 9, 10 years ago, whenever it was, you couldn't have predicted just how radically, dangerously close to losing this constitutional republic that I had come to revere so much. You just couldn't have predicted that we'd be where we're at today back then. You could see and feel the tensions and the fights and the political battles were escalating. People were getting more and more elevated, it seemed, but just nothing like today. But the one thing about it is that I just came away with an appreciation, a love, an admiration, an awe for founding fathers, the heroes that have fought and died for this country, and all the others who've worked so hard to put it all together and keep it all together. And I think that's one of the things that drives me even on a Saturday like this. I keep having to shut off the microphone because I picked up a summer cold. Alexa's already written in, so happy that Tana's surgeries went well. And that's the reason I'm sure I got sick, because Tuesday morning we had to be at the hospital, 6:30 a.m. By 1 o'clock, they'd been inside her brain and found a third aneurysm. So they fixed two of them, and then a second procedure on Wednesday. By Thursday at noon, we were home. But for me, that had just been back and forth and back and forth. We've got an aging, very aging pet at home that requires medications twice a day, so one, every 12 hours for a bunch of them. But then there's one that has to be done every 8 hours, so it fit, you know, it falls in between. So, man, I was back and forth from Swedish to home and back down to the hospital. So last night, the first full day after very successful brain surgery for my wife, and not easy, man. It's brutal. They tell you that you got to rest, but they wake you up every 15 minutes to check and make sure you're neurologically functioning. And, you know, there were some great nurses and then some not so great nurses. A great nurse makes all the difference in a serious or somewhat extended hospital stay. But we were home. Friday is our very first day, full day home after all these weeks of waiting and worrying and wondering and coming out on the other side and everything appearing to have gone very, very well. And I pick up this cold, this summer cold, cough and everything. So I downed two NyQuils last night. I'm home. Man, I get to sleep in. I don't have to get up in the morning. I can sleep this cold off. And I don't know about you, but two NyQuils just kicks my butt, knocks me out. Like, it's the next morning. I literally have to stick my finger into an electrical outlet to try and get my brain moving and functioning and get my body moving. You just feel like, you know, run over by a truck. And I'm out like a light. And my wife is not supposed to be running up and down stairs. She's not supposed to be getting excited. She just had three aneurysms repaired in her brain, supposed to be resting. Her version of the man cave is in the basement. I'm up on the second floor, and I'm out. And all of a sudden, she is rocking me awake. I mean, you know, dad. And that's what happens when you become grandparents. You know, she's Coco and I'm Papa, and we use those nicknames with each other now. But what happened is, many of you know that we've got the fourth grandson to be delivered within the next week or two. And then our fifth grandchild, first granddaughter, will be delivered, we expect, sometime in October. And it looked like last night was the night to pop. So the plan had been that my wife was going to take care of the 2.5, almost 3-year-old, while mom and dad were delivering grandchild number 4. But of course, she just had brain surgery. And this is early. She's not supposed to be going anywhere, doing anything. And she's sitting on the edge of the bed, head reeling, huffing and puffing, heart pounding, because she's not supposed to be doing anything. And so I came out of that coma. I didn't know you could come out of a coma that fast. I literally, within 45 seconds, was wide awake, got Tana situated again back in her man version of the man cave. Said, no, I'll go over. I'll stay with our grandson. They can get to the hospital. And I flew over to my grandson's or my son's house and slept there, you know, well, sort of rested there, waited there till about 1 a.m. And they came back and it was a false alarm. Baby's fine, but not ready to deliver yet. Got home about 1:30 this morning, finally went to bed. But that has taken its toll on me. So if you hear me popping off and popping in and popping out, it's just to have a quick coughing fit that I don't want to share with you. Anyway, back to the tomb. couple of interesting facts about the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. One is, did you know that the marble comes from Colorado? It comes from, this is very creative, a place called Marble, Colorado. And it was made, it's called Yule Marble. And it's made, was made by the Vermont Marble Company, whose offices were in Marble, Colorado. And I'm sure most of you know the story of, you know, what it's there for. It's dedicated to deceased U.S. service members whose remains were not identified. The World War I unknown soldier was a recipient of the Medal of Honor, the Victoria Cross, and several other foreign nations' highest service awards. And then other U.S. unknowns who were later interred there are also all recipients of the Medal of Honor, which, you know, we've seen presidents go and pay their respects, and those honors were presented by U.S. presidents who presided over their funerals. So it's a very special place. The torch goes, and the changing of the guard is just so fascinating to watch. And they're there, rain or shine, sleet, hail, freezing, frigid cold. It's an incredible, incredible tribute to those heroes. But have you ever heard of the Tomb of the Unknown Revolutionary War Soldier? The Unknown Revolutionary War Soldier is something I will tell you about when we return right here on 710 KNUS. Does not matter how tired I am when I hear that song, man. It just fires me up. And it reminds me we're just a week away now from the Western Conservative Summit. News Talk 710 KNUS, the Centennial Institute, my good friend Jeff Hunt present the 2023 Western Conservative Summit, June 9th and 10th. Is that right? That's got to be 2 weeks away, doesn't it? Yeah, I guess that's 2 weeks away. So can't do math anymore, even though I was a math major. But so many local heroes are going to be there. Lauren Boebert, Ken Buck. In fact, I will be introducing Ken Buck Saturday morning on the main stage. He's conducting a panel of some sort. I don't have all the details yet. Frank Gaffney, another. You should get Frank Gaffney on the show. He is always willing to come on. And, man, the inside information that he's got from his experience and from the work he continues to do, just incredible. Just added Missouri Senator Josh Hawley. News Talk 710 KNUS is the official station of the 2023 Western Conservative Summit. And you can grab your tickets online at 710KNUS.com. Was very sorry to hear about the trouble in Lauren Boebert's marriage. We talked just briefly a couple weeks ago when the divorce papers came out. And now there's leaking, or not even leaking, I think it's public record stuff, but 911 calls and problems that went on at the house. And, you know, somebody who actually became a lawyer out of my volunteer work with kids from troubled families, it's hard for me to imagine how the left celebrates the way they do when an amazing family, Lauren Boebert, her husband, I've known Lauren since before Congress, before her run for Congress. She hasn't changed a bit, gotten to know her husband some, always just wonderful interactions, calm, cool, collected, smart, four boys that she raised, all seem like good kids. And so, you know, I don't plan to spend any time dwelling on that, but obviously it's out there. It's going to be just hammered by the corrupt, coordinated, Democrat-controlled media machine. So I thought I would just send my regards to the Boebert family as they work through what, I don't know, seems like a troubling time. I talked to Lauren earlier this week on unrelated matters. She sounds great. She's just on fire, doing her job, as always, and you're not going to get one iota of back down from her. I have absolutely no doubt about that. Anyway, phone number here, 303-696-1971, 696-1971, and our promo for the show for this week was Ron DeSantis throwing his hat into the ring, and he did that on Twitter, and I know for a fact many, many people in my generation are not on Twitter. It's also not the place young people go. So I'm wondering why DeSantis chose Twitter as the rollout location. I listened to it. You couldn't watch it. There's no video from the big DeSantis rollout because it wasn't videotaped. It's all audio. So I've got some comments about that, and I'm interested if you saw it, if you heard it, if you've read about it, what you thought, and what that does to the state of the Republican presidential primary. So that is certainly on the table. Last week, I'm going to get to the tomb of the unknown Revolutionary War soldier here in just a second for this break. But last week, I'm so mad at myself. Last week was National Police Officer Week, National Support of Police Officer Week, and I had planned to have the link up, and I didn't. So I'll do that while we're talking here together. A whole week devoted to law enforcement. A whole week. Did you ever hear about it? Did our CBS News at the top of the hour remind everybody that it's National Police Week 2023? And it goes by so unnoticed, so unappreciated, so unremarkable that even I let it slip away. I had it at the top of my list of notes of things I wanted to talk about, and I jumped right into the politics and ran right past it. And many of you know, I used to MC the pro-police rallies in Douglas County in downtown Denver. I was the one standing on stage with my wife when Antifa overran the stage, and we were so proud of my wife, man. She was wheeling and dealing on that stage. It was a violent attack by Antifa. I know them firsthand, and they're gutless. They show up in a mob, but I've faced down Antifa individually, Antifa thugs, all dressed up on their little bicycles and their little black crap. When I left the Donald Trump presidential inauguration announcement for 2020, and I made a wrong turn, but the guy was alone, and he was completely useless as far as trying to be this threatening force. Meanwhile, back a block away where mobs of Antifa were at, they were threatening people who came out of the White House celebration that night and all of that. They're just disgusting. But we missed the entire week without comment, and I feel extremely guilty about that. Extremely guilty. But how would we know? There's just virtually no promotion whatsoever. Absolutely none. So the police get a week, the National Police Week 2023, but in what, 4 more days, 5 days, June 1st, we start the entire month for Gay Pride. Gay Pride Month coming up in June. How do we need a month for anybody? Black History Month. Where's White History Month? Oh, no, that's all the other time. Really? You can't talk about white history or just history in general. The left wants to change it all. But how's that woke, gay, love, Pride Month working out for Bud Light, for Target? How's it going to work out for the North Face? I know I'm getting a little sidetracked here, so I will pull back. But those are all the things on the table tonight. If you'd like to join the show, 303-696-1971, 303-696-1971. You can also text in on the 710 KNUS text to studio app. Those come in here automatically and instantaneously. And if I can get this mouse to work, I can actually read one. Got Alexa's there. My brother, CBS News, especially when it's played on KNUS radio, is a totally meaningless propaganda show to tell us lies about what is really happening rather than telling the truth. So glad Tana is doing well. No name. Thank you, Mystery Texter. And I'll save my story about the tomb you may not know about, the tomb of the unknown Revolutionary War soldier, till after we run through a couple of these calls. Let's start with Brian in Arvada. Brian, I hope you're having a meaningful Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I'm reflecting on all the people that gave everything for our freedom. And at the same time, I'm looking back at 2020 with all these little tyrants like the village idiot Polis, who were trying to shut down the small guy while letting the big guy stay open. And then how we all just bowed so instantly with our masks, we just obeyed them. We couldn't even have, a little bit of disobedience toward him. But yet these guys gave their lives. But yet we cowered so much. And to keep this republic, we're going to have to be just a wee bit stronger, I'm thinking. And I hope people take the time, because I knew a lot of people personally that knew it was wrong what they were doing. They knew it was wrong to shut down the little small companies, but yet the small companies closed. They knew it was wrong to walk into a store with a mask, but yet they didn't want to be hassled. No, we have to be tougher than that. These people gave their lives for our freedom. We're spitting on their graves when we bow to tyranny. These little tyrants like Polis, who decided he would argue with a coffee company because they opened. It was disgusting. And Polis shouldn't even celebrate this. He should go hide in his little hole or something. He's a disgusting human being. And we all need to stand strong. I hope we can all reflect. And you know, you look at the FBI, you look at everything that's going on right now. We all have to stand strong. This is not a time for cowardice. They weren't cowards, and they were actually having bullets fly at them. You know, that's all we have to do is stand up a little bit. So I'm hoping people reflect on that and really take to heart what these people gave. They had families. You know, that they. I was watching Vietnam all day in HD on the History Channel today. And what these people went through for us to have our freedom was just, it was just amazing, you know. And for us just to be such little cowards in our little comfort zone. No, it's time to stand and just say no. A little bit of civil disobedience is all I ask from
people.
Well,
Brian, you and I, and I know you're talking about the community we, because you and I were not wearing face covers, face diapers in airports or into businesses. I made one exception, which I know you did not, which is if I had to get on a plane, I put one on because I had to get somewhere. But,
you know, I did too. I got to be honest with you. I wanted to go visit my family in Washington, and I regret that. I should have drove. I should have honored these fallen heroes a little more. I should have got, my car was a little beat up. I was leaking oil, but I should have drove. I shouldn't have got on the plane. I shouldn't have bowed to their tyranny. But that was the one time I did.
You make a great point, though, because, and I've told this story before, I mean, during the COVID lockdowns, I became kind of a spokesperson for multiple businesses who were, you know, we got them reopened, we fought City Hall, we got licenses back, we made deals. And I would speak to groups of 10 businesses and sometimes 150 business owners, packed rooms, and during the conversation, all we would hear is, yeah, I'm going to stand up. And if whoever gets attacked first, we'll throw in and we'll support them. And people would walk out ready to go. And then as soon as the power of government, and my friend, your nose is piling into a microphone or something. So maybe you can move the phone down just a little bit. You're exhaling. That's much better. And I've done that many times before. It's easy to do. But then people would walk out, man, and the power of the government would show up, and people faced the reality of losing their license, losing their ability to pay their mortgage, their college tuition for their children or whatever. And the power of government backed people down. And, you know, I represented, you mentioned the coffee company. It was actually CNC Cafe. I represented CNC Cafe. And I watched when Jared Polis called them out individually, held a press conference specifically because they opened on Mother's Day and got international attention for doing it. And it was such courage. And I just thought, man, people like that are going to inspire other people to do the same thing. And there just wasn't enough of it. There just wasn't enough. And
no,
that is
there
a slap.
Too many cowards.
It is a slap.
You know.
Well, cowards,
they
but also.
They called it May Day, didn't they? Everybody was supposed to open on a certain day. They called it May Day. And then, like, nobody did it. And they're going to listen to this little Polis creep, this puke of a human being, this village idiot.
But I'm telling you.
You can go to Walmart, but I'm going to shut you down.
I know.
This guy has.
Yeah. There was a Walmart.
I have zero respect for that guy. He shouldn't even be celebrating today.
Brian, there was a Walmart across the street from CNC Cafe, and they had two locations, one in Colorado Springs, one there in Highlands Ranch. They lost them both eventually. They could not make it work and survive all that. But I was at the Capitol. I was at the state Capitol for that May Day rally. And again, you know, everybody pumped up. And then all of a sudden, my phone starts ringing. Oh, my God, they've shut me down. They're taking my license. I've got a hearing. And for most of those people, they had no choice because they have to eat. They have to live. They have to feed their families. They felt like they had no choice but to go ahead and make a deal, try and, you know, create more room, socially distance, do all the nonsense that we now know was ridiculous. To survive.
That's why we need to unite. If everybody would have stayed open and told this idiot that no, we're not shutting down, we're all, but everybody could have formed a coalition and stayed open, we would have showed them a lesson. Because the more you give, the more they're going to want to take. It's almost like a test. So people got to realize that. I mean, our forefathers, there was a lot of people, you know, that were really rich when America was born, basically, that they put everything on the line. And if you want to be free, you got to be willing to not compromise at all. It's just, I'm going to put everything on the line, that's it. You look at what's going on with our political prisoners. Actually, I had a question about that, not to get off subject, but this guy that got 18 years, I'm trying to figure out what the smoking gun, what they got him on. I know he didn't go in the Capitol. I mean, I know they got him on some conspiracy thing, but what was the smoking gun in that case? I still don't understand it. It's like we can't get any information about these poor political prisoners that are being prosecuted right
well
now.
I don't know the specific details on Stuart Rhodes. I know that any weapons were left in hotels. No weapons were brought to the Capitol. I know that Rhodes himself never went inside the Capitol, but these sentences are so extraordinary. We've learned now that the FBI has the license plate and the make and model of the car, or maybe not the license plate. I know for sure the make and model of the car of the guy who was planting bombs at the RNC and the DNC headquarters on that same day. We haven't done anything with him.
Well, and you look at Epps, and you look at just a pure corruption in every aspect, the CIA, the FBI, all of it. Now we got political prisoners. We don't get to see the trial. Supposedly, this is the biggest threat to our republic, or they call it democracy. But yet, we don't get to see any of the trials. There's no information on it. And you got Antifa running wild. They were actually planting rocks all over the place. But we can't find the leader of Antifa anywhere. It's almost like it's their redcoats. So we're in some trouble. People are going to have to stand up a little bit.
Remember the Antifa lawyer in Chicago who lit a cop car on fire and got probation and was released. The FBI lawyer who Klein Smith, I think was his name, who forged an email, changed an email to say that George Papadopoulos was not a CIA asset, when in fact the email he received said that Papadopoulos was a CIA asset, and that was used to get FISA warrants, submitted to the FISA warrant to get spying, to the FISA court to get spying warrants. I mean, The duplicitous.
They literally attempted a coup, but nothing's going to happen to them. They literally attempted a coup. But then on January 6th, you had FBI informants, they say up to 40 of them in there. You never see the guys that were breaking the glass and stuff getting prosecuted. You never see any of this. It's really, people got to kind of put two and two together here.
And Brian, I don't know if you were listening to the show last week, but I played a clip from that FBI informant or that whistleblower who said that there's tens of 10,000 hours of tape video that we still can't see because it will show the names of too many FBI operatives. It'll identify, not the names, but it'll help us identify too many FBI operatives. He said that under oath to Congress. It's unbelievable. Now, I do disagree with you that there's not going to be consequences. If we lose the next election, then we may be done. It may be time to go to the mattresses, but we've got a lot of fight left in us. These Republican investigations have to ratchet it up, because I'm tired of getting information that's powerful and damning to the other side, but then no action, no prosecutions, no contempt of Congress. What are they waiting for?
Yeah, it's like blatantly obvious now. It's not even like they're trying to hide it or nothing. They're just like openly corrupt. Like, we know we're not going to get touched, so we're just going to be openly corrupt. This has got to stop. And this is, if we can all stand together, this is how we honor our fallen heroes that literally gave everything for us. And we're just going to sit here and squander it away. I mean, it's It's unfathomable to me, but...
Well, I'm with you, Brian, and a great way to start the show, and a great...
And God bless you and your family, by the way. It sounds like you're going through a lot, and I'm glad your wife's okay. And
yeah, I appreciate that so much. And, you know, I'll just use this as a teaser since you brought up and tied together the COVID to the being, you know, the heroic standing up and pushing back against tyranny. But one of the concerns I've had about the now DeSantis-Trump race as it moves forward is DeSantis has been claiming all, you know, how different he handled the CCP lockdowns than Trump did. And I've got some audio that Wake Up with Randy Corcoran producer Blake Gallagher was kind enough to put together for us today that shows just the opposite, man. He was a lockdown tyrant himself. And so I'm going to play that later on in the show. Man, I hope you have a wonderful weekend and stay strong and keep
you
inspiring
other
people.
Well, and beware of DeSantis, guys. Don't get suckered in so quickly because he also backed last on that Ukraine war. So look at his donors, and you'll figure him out.
Yeah, he flipped his position on the war in about 72 hours, man. He came out.
He's another Bushy is what he is.
He sure feels that way. All right, Brian. God bless, man. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Brian's line is open, 303-696-1971, but we do have to run to a break. We'll be back. I will get in the little bit of a description, some insight into this, and I've got to go and see this thing. I've never been there. The Tomb of the Unknown Revolutionary War Soldier, when we return on 710 KNUS. Hey, little sister, Billy Idol. I'd let that play, but we don't have a whole lot of time left in this segment. We've got callers on the line and got a whole lot to do tonight. I'm Randy Corcoran. Welcome back. 710-KNUS, our phone number 303-696-1971, 696-1971. Before we go back to the phones, I'm going to explain to you what I've learned about the Tomb of the Unknown Revolutionary War Soldier, something I had never heard about until I was doing some Memorial Day show prep. And research this morning, just a lot, you know, leisurely reading, actually having some real fun. And before I get into any of that, for all of the radical leftists who've been celebrating the end of AM radio, because AM radio still is the free place where especially conservative values can be promoted and shared. And, you know, thank goodness, especially with a small signal like 710-KNUS for the streaming, you can listen to it anywhere you've got an internet connection or a smartphone, but you still have to have the source, the AM radio. And the left wing has failed so miserably on satellite radio, on AM radio, on FM radio, trying to come up with a political talk show format that anybody gives a crap about. So for the last several weeks, Salem has been making this push, and we've had the opportunity to sign a petition on our website at 710KNUS.com. Just a couple of days ago, the CEO of Ford Motor Company, woke. Remember, it's woke Ford Motor Company. Make no mistake. They've got, like, at the top of their Twitter feed, they've got a picture of a Tesla charging station, and they're bragging and celebrating how they'll have thousands more charging stations, Tesla charging stations on a Ford ad for your Ford EV, electric vehicle. And, you know, whoop-de-frickin'-do. How are we going to power that with our aging, ancient, vulnerable electrical grid? Anyway, we celebrate our victories when they come. And here's what Jim Farley, the CEO of Ford Motor Company, tweeted just a few days ago. After speaking with policy leaders about the importance of AM broadcast radio as a part of the emergency alert system, we've decided to include it on all 2024 Ford and Lincoln Motor Company vehicles. For any owners of Ford EVs without AM broadcast capability, we'll offer a software update. Customers can currently listen to AM radio content in a variety of ways in our vehicles, including via streaming, and we will continue to innovate to deliver even better in-vehicle entertainment and emergency notification options in the future. Thanks to our product development and manufacturing teams for their quick response to make this change for our customers. So not a word, of course, about the value of talk radio, because Ford is woke. Really stupid, in my mind. Stupid marketing. These people do not understand the United States, the American
purchasing audience just yet. This picture of a Ford truck, the Ford emblem, peeking through the hole in the middle of the Tesla charging station. Oh, well, whoop-dee, whoop-dee-do. All right, before we get back to the lines on fire, let me just tell you a little bit about this Tomb of the Unknown Revolutionary War Soldier. Had you ever heard of this? I had not. It's located in Washington Square in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I've been through Pennsylvania several times. I have never, ever stopped at the historic sites, at the war sites, at the war battlefield sites, any of them. So that is definitely on my bucket list. Maybe a nice long summer motorcycle trip. Won't be this year, but maybe sometime soon. But it's right there in Philadelphia, and it honors the thousands of soldiers who died during the American Revolutionary War. And many of them were buried in mass graves right there in the square. And I'm taking this information from Wikipedia, so take it with a grain of salt. I just didn't have the time or energy to look in any deeper. But they're part of Independence National Historical Park. And this memorial was created in 1954, completed in 1957. And it, like the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Arlington Cemetery, includes an eternal flame, has a bronze cast of a statue of George Washington as the centerpiece. Really beautiful. Should look it up. The Tomb of the Unknown Revolutionary War Soldier. And it includes remains which were actually disinterred, dug up after archaeological examination from beneath the square itself. And the initial remains are that of a soldier, but they don't know if it's a British soldier or a colonial soldier. An unknown number of bodies were buried beneath the square and the surrounding area. And still, as they do construction and excavation and stuff around Philadelphia, they continue to find remains even as we go. There are some engravings on the side of the tomb, the different sides of the tomb. For instance, they say freedom is a light for which many men have died in darkness. They write, the independence and liberty you possess are the work of joint councils and joint efforts of common dangers, suffering, and success. And that, if you've ever read it, and I've read it before on the air, that comes from the Washington, not all of it, but a good chunk of it, that comes from the Washington Farewell Address, September 17, 1796, when he demonstrated to the world the peaceful transition of power. And, oh, man, I know the lefties go crazy when I talk about that. Yeah, but Trump, there was no peaceful topic for another day. You're wrong. You know it. Get over it. But whatever. And then last quote I'll read, and then we'll move on. In unmarked graves within this square lie thousands of unknown soldiers of Washington's army who died of wounds and sickness during the Revolutionary War. Oh, I do want to read you the plaque on the tomb, the kind of the centerpiece. Beneath this stone rests a soldier of Washington's army who died to give you liberty. Very, very simple, but man, how profound. And, of course, because the left can't allow others to have nice things, this was vandalized. This monument was vandalized back in 2020. Pre-election, it was in June, but all part of that whole summer of violence and hell when some idiot, some gutless, putrid, immoral, condemned to hell, left-wing nutbag spray-painted this quote on the side, on the face of the tomb, quote, committed genocide. Committed genocide. So, the revolutionary, and I guess they're probably referring to Indians, or I guess we can, indigenous people. Sorry, I said Indians. God, can we dump that, please? I know it's dangerous. Committed genocide. You know, lands were fought for. That's the way the world was built. And I'm not going to get sidetracked into that whole conversation right now. But couldn't you, instead of spray painting over a beautiful monument, a testament to the forging of the freest and most prosperous, most secure nation the world has ever seen, instead of vandalizing that, couldn't you actually use your energy to try and, you know, bring benefit to Indian peoples of America or bring knowledge to the good and the bad that came out of the Revolutionary War. Plenty of warts in our history, but still a most remarkable and respectable and celebratory history, worthy of celebration history, as far as I'm concerned. So as we wrap up May and end with this Memorial Day weekend and really think about what people have given up so we can have these debates, so we can be here for times like these. I didn't serve. I didn't have the eyes to be in the Air Force. It was the only thing I was interested in. I came of age after the Vietnam War when people's, the garbage I learned about the military was it wasn't a great thing. It wasn't a great place to be. So I don't know if it would have been a solution for me. But the one thing I can do is use the tools that I have for my kids and your kids and my grandkids and your grandkids to wake people up and array them against this radical left effort to take over and tear down our country. So much more for you. Gay Pride Month. How's that working out for Target and others? Plus DeSantis and Trump next.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.